Grand Central Terminal is considered a Beaux-Arts masterpiece. This building sees millions of visitors a year, both commuters and tourists alike. Before we explore the inside of this beautiful building, let's take a few minutes to see some of the features on the outside. If you look up, you will see a cluster of statues. They depict Minerva, Mercury, and Hercules, the Roman gods of wisdom, speed, and strength. These were all of the attributes that a railroad was supposed to have. The piece is called the Glory of Commerce, and it was the largest sculpture grouping in the world when it was unveiled. The sculptures were designed by French artist Jules-Félix Cotin, but he didn't actually come to New York to oversee their completion. His explanation for not coming was his fear that some of your American architecture might distress me. Because of this, William Bradley of Long Island City, Queens, actually completed the piece. Just beneath the sculptures is a beautiful clock. It's hard to tell from the sidewalk, but this clock actually measures almost 4.5 meters in diameter, and it is the largest piece of Tiffany glass in the world. It is also the only clock that is a part of Grand Central that is set to the correct time. This is entirely on purpose. All clocks inside are set 1 minute fast, and trains leave 1 minute after their scheduled departure. Grand Central is a busy place with 44 train platforms, more than any other station in the entire world. They have to keep to a precise schedule, but they want the passengers to stay safe. The extra minute of buffer time is to help get everyone to their train in a safe and timely manner. Seems to be working out pretty well. Grand Central has the fewest slips, trips, and falls of any station in the country. A pretty big accomplishment considering the sheer volume of passengers and the slick marble flooring. If you look on the corners of the building, you'll see some eagles perched there. These were actually taken from a previous building. Grand Central Terminal is the third station on this spot. First came Grand Central Depot in 1871, then Grand Central Station in 1899, and then the present building, Grand Central Terminal, which opened in 1913. These eagles adorned the previous Grand Central Station. If you look at them closely, you'll see that their faces are actually pretty lifelike and definitely ferocious. This is to help scare pigeons away. The gray statue of a man out in front is of Cornelius Vanderbilt, known to many as the Commodore. Before we go inside, just a bit of history about this place and how it all came to be, starting with the Commodore. In the mid-19th century, New York City had three train lines, the Hudson Line, the Harlem Line, and the New Haven Line. These three lines originally came into three different stations, which created some chaos. Cornelius Vanderbilt financed Grand Central Depot, which opened in 1871, so that all three lines could operate through a central location. Later, in 1899, the depot had a major overhaul. The building went from 3 stories to 6, and it got a new facade. The new and improved building was christened Grand Central Station. In the days of both the depot and the station, trains ran above ground, but traffic was getting increasingly more complicated in a growing city. In 1902, two trains collided north of Grand Central, killing 15 people. Afterwards, William J. Wilgus of the New York Central Railroad proposed replacing Grand Central Station and its steam trains with a new terminal built for electric trains. It would be cleaner, faster, and safer. Grand Central Station was torn down and replaced in stages, so as to cause as little disruption to train service as possible. Work began in 1903, and Grand Central Terminal was completed in February 1913. The firms of Reed & Stem and Warren & Wetmore designed the station, which, just like the previous two, was built by the Vanderbilt family. The cost in today's money would be over $2 billion for Grand Central Terminal. The new station was not only electric, but the trains ran underground, clearing the way for Park Avenue north of the station. Now let's head inside. The bridge that you see is the Pershing Square Bridge. You want to go in the 42nd Street entrance just under it. Go through two sets of doors, and you will find yourself in Vanderbilt Hall.